The following content has been provided by New St. Andrews College in Moscow, Idaho. For more information, visit us online at nsa.edu.
If we were looking for a title for this particular segment, we might call it Surprise, Laziness is an Economic Factor. So we're going to find no real help looking at the Hebrew word for lazy man or sluggard. That's because it means, well, lazy man or sluggard. That's what it means in the Hebrew. Some things are so universal that they translate well into any language. We all understand what a shirker is. It would be simplistic to say that poverty is always caused by laziness, period, as some believe. Some people just say if someone's poor, it's their fault. They blame that person. That's the way it is. That's simplistic, and it's not biblical to think that way. But it's equally simplistic to say that no poverty is caused by laziness, as a number of others believe. So some people believe that poverty is always caused by laziness or substance abuse or some, you know, misbehavior on the part of the poor person. Other people believe that laziness is always caused by oppression or class divisions or income inequality and so on. That's just as simplistic. The linkage that we have in our minds between laziness and poverty is one that scriptures helped us to create. How many times in scripture do we find the two mentioned together in one breath? And the answer is a lot. But you have to remember, a lot of these are going to come from the book of Proverbs. And Proverbs are Proverbs. They're generally true. So when Proverbs teaches us that a lazy man comes to poverty, that's not in the same category as triangles have three sides. Triangles have three sides is universally true by definition. Laziness leads to poverty is generally true. So the Bible does not, that said, the Bible does not just say that laziness is an engine of poverty. There are other aspects of this sin. First, laziness is shameful. However common it might be, the Bible teaches that laziness remains a disgrace. Proverbs 10:4-5 says, "He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich." There's the connection between wealth, poverty, laziness, and industry. But it goes on. "He who gathers in summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame." So if you are lazy in a way that leads you into poverty, then that poverty ought to be an embarrassment to you. It's shameful. As a sin which brings shame, we should consider well some of its identifying characteristics. As we learn, we should remember that laziness has an obvious alternative. "Go to the ant, you sluggard," Proverbs 6:6-11. If we put these two truths together, we see that at least some poverty is shameful, precisely because it was brought about by sinful choices. When the judgment is accurate, this is not blaming the victim, but rather blaming the perpetrator. So when someone has been the cause of his own poverty, either because of his alcoholism or his drug addiction or because his inveterate laziness, and we say, you know, you should straighten up and fly right, you should get a job, you should work hard, that's not blaming the victim. That's blaming the perp. That's blaming the perpetrator. Now, that said, this does not mean that the honest working poor are to be blamed. The scriptures never do that. So if a man is a hard worker, he's got calluses on his hands, he knows how to bust a gut, he knows how to do that, and yet he's not wealthy, the scripture never disparages that kind of man or looks down on him. But from the frequency of the warnings in Proverbs on the subject, we may conclude that a significant percentage of the poor are in that condition because of their own poor work ethic. So for those in that condition, they ought to be ashamed. But instead, in our culture, we try to shame the person who was inept enough to point out the obvious. Lazy bums don't have to feel ashamed, but you must feel ashamed if you use the phrase lazy bum. But Proverbs won't give up this point. Laziness has no follow-through. A lazy man may have bursts of activity, and he may even get something done during one of them, but he does not maintain, he does not persevere. The lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting, but diligence is man's precious possession. That's Proverbs 12:27. Notice, he may stir himself up enough to go hunting, right? He's got enough energy to go hunting, but he doesn't have enough energy to follow through. He doesn't have enough energy to cook it. Sometimes the lack of follow-through is extraordinary. A very simple thing could be done to bring a project to completion, but he simply does not do it. A lazy man buries his hand in the bowl and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. So he can make the initial effort, but he doesn't complete. Strike a scoffer, and the simple will become wary. Rebuke one who has understanding, and he will discern knowledge. Proverbs 19:24-25. The solution to laziness is seen in this passage as well. The lazy must be permitted to eat their own cooking, or not, as the case may be. As the Apostle Paul put it, a man not willing to work shouldn't eat. But laziness is full to the brim of excuses. The lazy man says, "There's a lion outside. I should be slain in the streets." Proverbs 22:13. Sometimes the excuses are unreasonable, the ancient Hebrew equivalent of "the dog ate my homework" or "aliens kidnapped me, what year is it?" Other times the excuses may seem more plausible and hence reasonable, but the results are still the same. Proverbs 20 verse 4 says, "The lazy man will not plow because of winter. He will beg during harvest and have nothing." So you might have a plausible excuse, the weather, or you twisted your ankle, and let's say you really did, or you might have an outlandish excuse, but the end result is the fruit of the work is not done. Laziness is full of quote-unquote wisdom. Proverbs 14:23-24 says this, "In all labor there is profit, but idle chatter leads only to poverty." Notice it's contrasting labor with chatter. "The crown of the wise is their riches, but the foolishness of fools is folly." So the lazy man wears his foolish talk like a crown. He may be full of proverbial wisdom concerning work, but his wisdom is like the legs of a lame man. Proverbs 26:7. So as a legs on a lame man are like a proverb in the mouth of a fool. The lazy man, Proverbs 26:13-17 says this, "The lazy man says, 'There's a lion in the road. A fierce lion is in the streets. As a door turns on its hinges, so does the lazy man on his bed. The lazy man buries his hand in the bowl. It wearies him to bring it back to his mouth. The lazy man is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly.'" So even though the lifestyle is ludicrous and the folly is apparent all around, remember he's wearing it like a crown, his foolish talk like a crown, the lazy man has it all figured out. He has more wisdom in his own eyes than seven wise men. Not surprisingly, laziness is an irritation to others. Proverbs 10:26 says, "As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy man to those who send him." So if you send a lazy man to deliver a message or to get something done, it's going to be a constant irritation to you. This is not surprising. If one of them is lazy, two men will have very different ideas of what constitutes diligence. Again, remember that the book of Proverbs has a lot to say about this. Laziness, like many other things in this world, compounds with interest. Laziness casts one into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. Proverbs 19:15. So a man is lazy sitting there. He's lazy, he naps. He's lazy, he goes to bed. Lazy, he goes into a deep sleep. That's what I mean by it compounds with interest. The soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. Proverbs 13:4. Laziness is not rest. It does not prepare for work. It only prepares for more laziness. Sometimes a hardworking man might sit and rest for a minute to gather up energy to go hit it. Resting for a minute does give you energy to hit it. But a lazy man, his sitting there is only preparing him for sitting there. The laziness grows along with frustrated desire. Unwillingness to work for something is not the same thing as a willingness to not have it. So basically, Laziness does not make ambition go away. It does not make desire go away. It doesn't make lust go away. Laziness provokes hastiness and deceit. The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty surely to poverty. Getting treasures by a lying tongue is the fleeting fantasy of those who seek death. That's Proverbs 21, 5 and 6. This is a setup for boneheadedness and lies. Notice someone who is hasty is the haste or the rush that they're doing something in is a substitute for doing the work of preparation. Preparation, getting all your tools, gathering everything all together, is hard work. And it's part of what makes the work go well. For a man who loves the easy way, laziness is hard to explain, because laziness is hard. Proverbs 15:19. The way of the lazy man is like a hedge of thorns, but the way of the upright is a highway. So, the lazy man figuring out the easy way to do it is actually figuring out the hard way to do it. The industrious man who's willing to do the hard thing finds that his path is smooth. He's walking on a broad way. He's walking on a highway. Proverbs teaches us that laziness is counterproductive. It does not accomplish its desired end. Any teacher can probably tell you stories of students who expend three times the energy getting out of work than they would have expended if they'd just done the work. It's counterproductive. It doesn't accomplish its desired end. And we can see that in Proverbs 12:24. The hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. So the lazy man is put to forced labor. He's impressed. He's thrown into a work gang where he doesn't want to be. And that's the end result of his laziness. Then last, in this line, there's more to come. Laziness is an object lesson, one to be pointed out to your boys. Proverbs 24:30. I went by the field of the lazy man and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. If we are not allowed to talk about it, we cannot teach our sons. And so it must be noted that at a certain level, laziness is a public event and not a private matter. So, this really needs to be emphasized again and again, particularly among Christians. You can't just put a fish in the window of your business and say, well, I'm a Christian, and that means Christians should patronize me. There's more to it than that. If you have a fish in your window and you go and install someone's cabinets in their kitchen, but you install them upside down, someone says, hey, how did that work out for you, having him do the cabinets? For a customer to share with a potential customer their level of job satisfaction is not gossip. Your vocation, your work, is a very public thing. If someone's walking by your vineyard and they see all the weeds in it, that's a public thing. When you sell a field or you sell a crop, this is all transacted in public. And when people are looking at the bottom line, that's not gossip. When they're looking at your ability to do the job on time and on budget and so forth, it's not gossip for them to pass that on. That's how the free market works, information being transferred. So if laziness is present, that's a public event, not a private matter. So we have to, having talked about laziness and poverty, let's talk a little bit about what you might call consumerism and poverty. We may be induced to throw our money away in any number of ways. Here we have to consider some of the ways we lose money through the sensual snares that wait for us. Typically, when such sins are mentioned, it is so that God's people will know that they are bad. This is, of course, true. Sin is bad. You heard it from the preacher. Sin is a bad thing. It's of course true that sin is bad, but the more limited point here is that sins are expensive. Sins are not just bad. They're not just morally deficient. They're not just morally wrong. They are also stupid. They're expensive. First, we should consider the appetites generally. The righteous eats to the satisfying of his soul, but the stomach of the wicked shall be in want. Proverbs 13:25. So both the righteous and the wicked have a stomach. Both the righteous and the wicked have an appetite. But the righteous can eat and be satisfied, while the wicked are driven by an appetite which is out of control. In any of the areas that we're going to be considering here, the issue is generally not the thing being considered in itself, i.e. sleep, sex, etc., but rather whether or not God's law is honored and whether or not self-control is in evidence. So, luxury is the first problem. Luxury is expensive. Luxury is not fitting for a fool, much less for a servant to rule over princes. Proverbs 19:10. Luxurious display is inappropriate for a fool. That is, a fool shouldn't have it. And if he does get it, he won't have it for very long. The fool thinks, if only I could get that nice of a car, if only I could get those expensive clothes, if only I could get that wonderful food. But it is not fitting. He's not up to that. And someone, even someone who really does have the money and is not a fool, ostentatious luxury is not for them either, but because they're wise, because they're not a fool, they're not going to be attracted to it. I've met one billionaire in my life, and he was as down to earth as possible for a guy to get. Sweatshirt, blue jeans, he wasn't preening or prancing around. That's the way billionaires ought to go. Then there is frivolity. He who tills his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows frivolity will have poverty enough. So frivolity leads to poverty. A faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. To show partiality is not good, because for a piece of bread a man will transgress. A man with an evil eye hastens after riches, and does not consider that poverty will come upon him. That's Proverbs 28:19-22. A number of issues are addressed in this passage, trying to get rich quickly, showing favoritism, miserliness, but the warning presented first is against frivolity. The Hebrew can mean either frivolity or vanity or frivolous and empty fellows. The contrast is with one who tills the land, so the meaning is apparently referring to one who follows vain and pleasurable pursuits instead of working. What he follows may have the appearance of work or not, but it consistently comes up empty. That's what frivolous pursuits do. Another obvious snare is sensualism. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day, for surely there is a hereafter, and your hope will not be cut off. Hear, my son, and be wise, and guide your heart in the way. Do not mix with winebibbers or with gluttonous eaters of meat, for the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe a man with rags. Proverbs 23:17-21. Now, there's an important point to make here. Gluttony, in Scripture, gluttony does not refer to someone having a second helping of mashed potatoes at Thanksgiving. That's not gluttony. Rather, it refers to the sensualist, the Epicurean, the drunkard of food. So there is food, and there is food and there's gluttonous excess, just as there's wine and there is drunken excess. And so the ancient Romans used to have rooms called vomitoria, where you would eat the first course of the banquet and then everybody go out and make yourself throw up so you'd have room for the second course. That kind of debauchery with food is what the Bible describes as gluttony. And the Bible routinely pairs gluttony with drunkenness. So it refers to the sensualist, the drunkard of food. Scripturally, the glutton is a riotous eater. He who loves pleasure will be a poor man. He who loves wine and oil will not be rich. Proverbs 21:17. The issue is not the pleasure involved, but rather the inordinate love of it. What the foolish man loves, sensual experience, he winds up losing. There is desirable treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man squanders it. Proverbs 21:20. The wise man doesn't serve the pleasure and winds up possessing it. The fool worships the pleasure and consumes it, and it's all gone. Another sensual experience is that of sleep. This is obviously connected to the sin of laziness, which we already considered, but the love of sleep needs to be mentioned independently as well. Do not love sleep, lest you come to poverty. Open your eyes, and you will be satisfied with bread. Proverbs 20, verse 13. A lazy man is not necessarily apathetic. The desire of the lazy man kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. He covets greedily all day long, but the righteous gives and does not spare. Proverbs 21, 25, and 26. So notice it says the desire of the lazy man kills him. He covets greedily all day long. So the fact that he's not willing to work for it doesn't mean that he doesn't want it intensely. He does want it, but he wants it to fall out of the sky. He wants to win the lottery. He wants to have his luck change. And then last, as we consider consumerism and poverty, we have to consider the expensiveness of sex. When Solomon warns his son against the loose woman, he connects this warning, Proverbs 5:10, lest aliens be filled with your wealth, and your labors go to the house of a foreigner. So, of course, adultery and fornication is bad, it's sinful, it's morally corrupting, but it's also expensive. It's also a drain on your resources. Proverbs 6:26, for by means of a harlot, a man is reduced to a crust of bread, and an adulteress will prey upon his precious life. The economic consequences of immorality are not tiny. Proverbs 29:3, whoever loves wisdom makes his father rejoice, but a companion of harlots wastes his wealth.
New St. Andrew's College thanks you for listening.